that I make money in many ways. One of the ways was commentating fashion shows around the country, another way lecturing, another way judging beauty contests. So that from that standpoint, and because my movements could be so flexible, I was asked whether or not, and this I was recommended by the FBI, for whom I had been a drop for 2 years, and really waving the flag and knowing I was doing something right for my country, and I'm very proud to say that I've done that. From the standpoint of the CIA, that was a business venture, and my job was to carry messages, because I would go here and there, and it seemed like the simplest thing in the world to do.
Well, it certainly does seem like a simple thing to do if you don't look past it. Just carry messages, but I understand that you turned into a whole bunch of other people as a result of your employment with the CIA. Is that true?
Yes, I turned into another person. I can't say that I turned into one, but a figment of my imagination as a child. As a little girl, I was a single child, and I was very lonely, and I made up a little playmate. Her name was Arlene Grant, and when I was sent to my control agent, he wanted to know everything about me, and he went back to that childhood period, and they were looking for a name to use as a cover. He said, there may be times when Candy Jones may not be appropriate. You want another name? And I said, I know. I said, Arlene Grant. And he found out about this little playmate, imaginary playmate I had, and through narco-hypnosis and drugs, brainwashing, if you will, that's how Arlene Grant was brought up and developed into a totally different personality.
Now, all of this sounds weird.
Yes, I agree.
Now, the fact that Long John Neville, happens to be involved in the story also makes it sound weird, because Long John, in case nobody knows, is a man who conducted and conducts, I assume he still does, talk shows late at night, and for years was talking about the possibility of extraterrestrial visitors, flying saucers, extrasensory perception, psychokinetics, and so on and so on and so on. And lo and behold, you married the guy.
Yes, I did. And isn't it interesting that ESP is a fact, and that there is such a thing as hypnotism, and that many of the things he had talked about, I'm not talking about the funny people from Mars or Venus. I used to be a listener, too. But Long John and I have been married since New Year's Eve of 72. And it was because of his insatiable curiosity about hypnotism that this whole thing actually was brought out. When he married me, he married Candy Jones. But when he'd go to bed, he'd hear somebody else talking at night, and sometimes crying, sometimes shouting. And he started using a tape recorder in our headboard, which was built in, as most people in radio have all sorts of gadgets.
Not me, kiddo.
Not you? Oh, I'm surprised. Well, anyway, I didn't believe the things that he said that I was saying or doing.
Hang on a minute, Candy. Yeah. Having been involved with somebody in radio, you are aware of the fact that you have to make a buck.
Please do.
So we're going to do that here. Here's a community reminder from KGO. The Preservation Hall Jazz Band will be the main attraction. What attracted to you? You to the story, and Bridie Murphy has been done, and all the other hypnotism books have been done. So why did you think you had anything here?
Well, I didn't for a while. John Neville's been a friend for a long time. John indicated to me that there was something strange occurring in his marriage with Candy. In August of 1974, he asked me to come in and hear some tapes. I said that I was not interested in doing a biography on Candy. I came in and heard some tapes, became totally fascinated, but was very skeptical. And it took me 4 months of night and day listening to hundreds of hours, and this, we now have about 350 hours of tape, before I realized that there was an underlying truth here. And through the parallel research into multiple personalities, into scientific theories, I realized that what had occurred was a long-term experimentation program funded by the CIA. It goes back to the 40s. It was a G.H. Estabrooks out of Colgate who put forth the thesis that you can create the perfect agent by taking someone of Candy's demonstrated high capacity. Candy really is like in 1% of the population in her personality structure. You deliberately create the second personality, which is easy to do. It's done all the time therapeutically by psychiatrists. Mm-hmm. And you have created the perfect agency agent. And once I realized the basic truth of that, and I was overwhelmed with the emotional truth of the tapes, and then a lot of pieces started to fit, corroborative evidence, I realized we were into something very important. And 2 years later, we're sitting here with you, and the book is the result.
The something important, I would assume, is the fact that the United States government or an agency, an instrumentality of that, took a citizen, guaranteed certain protections under the law, offered her employment, doing something that was strictly legal, and turned around and bent her head.
Exactly. Now, we don't know where these doctors, and they were from this area, one of them was originally, we don't know whether he went beyond the limits set forth by the agency. The experimentation done by the agency was bad enough. Thousands of people have had this number done on them. It's been documented now, you know, over the years. And I should mention for the listener that we started this book about 6 months prior to the first revelation about scandal in the CIA, because some people think maybe you jumped on a bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know whether these doctors went beyond what the agency said they could do, whether the blame should be more squarely on their shoulders. The blame should be on everybody's shoulders, obviously, but it's a matter of degree and who was the worst guy in this.
I'm going to hop back and forth because there's a double thread that runs here. First of all, the interest in the technique and the revelation of Arlene Grant and who she was and what she was, and it's a multifaceted book for me, and I can't wait to read it since I have not, having learned just a short time ago that I was going to do it. I'm fascinated, number one, with your husband, who's in my kind of business and has been for years and has many of the same interests I do, which, as you can see, could include the occult and a few other things. I'm fascinated with the idea that you were so handy a hypnotic subject, that he, your husband, without formal training, could do all this with you. That's amazing.
Well, I would say that he had studied, and he has studied. He's had more than 100 hours with the eminent psychiatrist and medical hypnotist, Dr. Herbert Spiegel, in New York City. And he was one of the few non-medical people invited to take these classes. Donald Bain has also spent at least 100 hours. But on his own, prior to our marriage, it's just one of these strange things, he had just so much curiosity in hypnotism, and for years he read everything he could get his hands upon. He had never hypnotized anyone in his life. He hasn't hypnotized anyone since. However, he's not the only one who has hypnotized me. After we first went to a doctor, I wanted to go because I started to get worried when I heard these tapes played back. This was terrible. I had a thing called global amnesia, which means unless I heard this tape played back, I didn't know any of this had happened. I knew that I'd been with the CIA, but I didn't know about the torture or the abuse and some of the terrible things that had taken place. And so we went to not one, but many doctors. I had the Rorschach test, brain scanning, the TAT. You name it, I have had it to find out, could there be in any way something that she's imagining? And these were all individual psychiatrists and medical hypnotists. So it wasn't just John who did the hypnotizing. One of the doctors, Dr. Herbert Spiegel, regressed me back to 1 month of age, and it was he, as you will read in the foreword of the book, who said I had been tampered with. I had truly been brainwashed, and there was no doubt about it.
Have there been... Are you aware of any others who have been manipulated as you have been?
I have interviewed on the air several people. One who has not been, who's not as lucky as I am. There's definitely brain damage. I have talked to a few people, but I was not in a group in which, everybody out for narco-hypnosis or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that these people do exist, yes.
Now, as a separate researcher who was turned on to something because it was, as an American, inconceivable to you that our side could do it. I mean, they could do it,
yes.
But not our side, right?
That's exactly right.
In your researches, I am sure that you must have run across some parallels. Otherwise, you wouldn't have written the book. It would not have been a valid book then.
Yes,
what were
I
they?
Did. Well, I ran across some people who had been the victims of LSD experimentation. What shocked me... Pardon?
Yeah, that verifies the things that have come out lately.
Exactly. And what shocked me was that it was not only the CIA. The CIA claimed they quit testing a few years back. And then last year, HEW, of all people, admitted they had experimented on 2,500 people, including mental patients, but HEW claimed they'd gotten their permission. Now, how do you get a mental patient's permission? I don't understand. If it isn't HEW, the Army has done it with thousands of people. It just seems that we're in an experimental kind of craze going on with our government. Every agency seems to be involved with every conceivable kind of mind-controlling drug, and it's very frightening. And what this book basically is, besides being a very detailed look at the phenomena of multiple personality and brainwashing, hypnosis, and so on, it's the first case study of somebody who was a subject.
And I certainly hope it warns people what can happen, and don't fool around with anyone who is a hypnotist who is not a medical hypnotist. I'm not out to put hypnotists out of business, but very bad things can happen if a person wishes to use it from a diabolical standpoint.
And there is no validity in the fact that you won't do what your nature won't permit you to
absolutely
do under hypnotism.
Not.
No, that's
baloney.
That's right. Well, it's a yes and no thing. You know, what they do is change the visual, and you would not kill your brother directly, but you can be convinced your brother is a wild animal, and that's the way it's done.
Listen, my boss is going to be that if I don't do this.
Neville.
I'll get it. All I remember is Long John.
That's good
enough. Candy Jones Neville, you told me a startling thing as we were off the air here. Now, I remember all the stories about secret agents who got their kits, the briefcase that turns into throwing knives, and a huge six-story building that they can live in, and the L pill, the lethal L, but only under extremis, as
it were. Mine was in a lipstick.
You were really programmed to commit suicide?
Yes, I was, but I was not going to do it with the lipstick. I had resigned for the last time. I had resigned three times altogether, twice, and the third time, finally. My last assignment was in October of 1972. I had gone out to Chicago, and my cover was really to interview Jimmy Hoffa for another network, and it was a radio interview. I completed my interview with Jimmy and went on, delivered my message, and returned to New York, and I said, that's it, kids. Thank you very much. My business no longer needed their support, nor did I want to have any more to do with them, because I was pretty tired of having the B12 shots and feeling so much worse after I had them, and having the marvelous tonic and feeling terrible and so forth. And I said, I've had it, no more. I was told over the telephone, and if you know anything about hypnosis, you can be inducted over the telephone, through sense, S-C-E-N-T-S, through sounds. There are so many different ways, visual aids. But over the telephone, I was told that I would take a trip, which was, again, natural for me to do, around the holidays of 1972-73, and I would go to the Bahamas, to Paradise Island. I would receive a phone call there on the morning of the 3rd of January, 73, and the phone call would be to advise me to go up the beach with my snorkel and all my swimming equipment, but way up around a corner where there's sort of a little piney, you go up a little hill, there's a piney grove up there, and put everything down neatly, my watch and my shoe, fold up my robe, take off my glasses, and dive in holding my snorkel. Except the water was a matter of a foot and a half deep, and it was all coral. So naturally, if I had, I would have broken my neck or crushed my skull, and Candy Jones would have had an accident. It would have just been a bad accident.
You see, that comes back to the theory again, whether the CIA directed that, or whether by this point the doctors had gone beyond the agency's dictates and were afraid for their own skins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they had gotten in too deep.
Well, it's obvious that you didn't do any of those things.
No, I was married to Long John Neville, or is it Neville? Neville.
Long John. Big Long John, yeah.
On December 31st, 1972. And that was really what saved my life.
And that's really where the book sort of begins and regresses and goes forward. And I think from what I have heard here and the brief glance that I have had at the book, I will tell you now that I am going to read it. The Control of Candy Jones. The author is Donald Bain. Donald is the lower voice you were listening to in there. Yes.
Now, we're so delighted because the book has been out a week or 10 days, and about an hour ago, we got a call from New York, and it is on the bestseller list of the New York Post.
Really?
In a week, yeah. So it's working, and we're delighted.
Well, congratulations to both of you. This is not a how-to, it's a how-to-avoid.
Yes.
Exactly.
Thank you both very much. I'm sorry we have such a short time
to spend.
Thank
you so much.
My congratulations.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Bye.